You're listening to The Writer's Block, presented by Bud Select, with Benjamin Hockman, Derek Gould, and Ben Fredrickson on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. I wrote my way.
When the world turned its back on me, I was up against the wall. I had no foundation, no friends or no family to catch my fall. Running on empty, with nothing left in me but doubt. I picked up a pen and I wrote my way
out. I picked up the pen like Hamilton, street analyst. Now I write words to try to channel them. No,
my favorite song from the Hamilton mixtape. It's awesome. Thank you, Chris. I'm Benjamin Hockman alongside Derek Gould, Chris Gardner, and Brendan Schaefer. We are the Writer's Block presented by Bud Select. Ben Fred is on assignment, a.k.a. becoming an uncle. Howard Balzer, 590 The Fan NFL contributor, is on the line with us from H-Town, H in H-Town. How are things in Houston, Howard?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a Super Bowl. What can I say? I mean, it's only Tuesday, and it already seems like it's been a long week, but that's the way it usually goes with all the craziness. Downtown is everything is pretty much centered in downtown Houston, and it's people everywhere, and it's become, obviously, this is more than a game, and certainly with all the, it definitely is that, especially kicking off last night with it's no longer media day. It's Super Bowl opening night.
Right. And the journalist in me is dying a little asking you this question, but can you describe some of the weirdest, AKA, or air quotes, reporters you saw at the media day?
You know, there didn't, quite honestly, now it was hard to see so many because it's such a mass number of people, but I do try to make the rounds and get to different areas. There didn't seem to be as many of the kind of off the wall, offbeat, you know, people as in past years. I did see Cinderella with her prince and all dressed in that, you know, regalia.
What paper was she from?
I'm sure it wasn't a newspaper. They're just holding cameras. And of course, as always, there was the lovely Miss Azteca.
Oh, yes.
From Mexican television.
Yeah.
And so, thankfully that they were still able to be at the game, that the wall no wall was able to keep them out.
Yeah.
But, you know, other than that, there just didn't seem to be, I don't know why, it just didn't seem to be as much as of those, those people dressed up and, you know, going around and asking crazy questions. And so it was just a lot of people. And obviously a lot of people in the stadium, you know, they had it in the Minute Maid Park, obviously, the home of the Astros, and over 10,000 fans actually paid to sit there and watch people being interviewed. I mean, doesn't that say it all?
Do you think, Howard, at all, that the lack of, like you said, three-ring circus atmosphere, is it all a reflection on the downward trend in popularity? Well, in viewership, the NFL saw this year, or any of that, any of the NFL fatigue that's setting in?
I guess maybe it could be, but, you know, the entertainment channels, you would love that. I don't know. Maybe they just felt that they weren't getting the bang out of it any more than they used to, and maybe I missed some of them. I don't know. But, you know, with all the different entertainment channels that are always looking for things to fill up. I mean, heck, I can remember when the Tonight Show and the nightly shows would send a correspondent there, filing reports. Whether it's budget reasons, I don't know. It's hard to say, you know. Who knows? Maybe because of all the money that these places have spent in all the entertainment stuff and in the presidential election and the budget and all that. Maybe that had an effect. I don't know. It's hard to say. But
how many Super Bowls is this for you?
This is my 37th.
So in those 37, do you recall a time when Media Day was actually worthwhile?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I don't want to give the, first I'll say, I don't want to give the feeling that it's not worthwhile.
No, I do. That was on me.
No,
sorry.
Because, I mean, those of us who have the interviews to do and all that, and by the way, Joe Roderick and I and Fred Swoe, had some one-on-one time with Chris Long last night, and Danny Amendola, and Brian Cox, and Adrian Claiborne, with obviously St. Louis ties, And so, you know, you have that stuff to do, and you're still able to get it done. But I know what you mean, a time when it was more all about the media there to get stories instead of the making it a show. And that's what the NFL has done, is just made it a big TV show. And then maybe that's part of it with some of these other stations. Now that they're televising it and televising it live, maybe it doesn't mean as much for some of those others to be there because of that. That could have an effect. But, yeah, I do remember. In fact, guys, I can remember. I don't know the year, but I can remember a Super Bowl. And they used to have media day, which was on Tuesday during the day. And it used to be at the stadium where the game was going to be. Of course, they went to the night last year and had it in the hockey arena in San Francisco area, and then last night in the baseball park. Anyway, we're about to go walk down from one level to the field for media day, and it's a long line of reporters, mostly radio and mostly print guys. Unless you remember, this is pre-internet, even for the most part, pre-talk radio. And I happened to look over to the next little aisle going down, and I saw downtown Julie Brown,
yeah,
from MTV, and that was like the first year that stuff began. And I remember remarking to someone, whoever it was standing in front of me, I said, "Something tells me Media Day will never be the same again." And that certainly turned out, you know, to be prescient. And everybody followed that lead. And who knows? Maybe it is, you know, backing off a little bit, mainly because of the way the NFL treats it. I mean, with the bands playing and music and introducing the players to all kinds of pyrotechnics afterward. You know, they had the roof closed of the stadium, of the ballpark, during the event, but then opened it when it was over to have fireworks display. And so, like, it's an event. It's now an event that the NFL puts on to be on TV as opposed to its purpose. But, as I said, you can still get your purpose done.
It is the Patriots. We know the rivalry that had developed when the Rams were here in town between the two, and what some of the off-field reasons why that rivalry developed as well. But if people in St. Louis are going to root for the Patriots, they will do so probably because of a former St. Louis Ram, and that's Chris Long. You mentioned speaking with him last night. What was that discussion like?
It was good. I mean, he was cool. It was good to see us. We were surprised. We thought we were going to have an easy time getting them, but he ended up having a podium, which you know what? And there's only 11 people at podium for each team, and obviously there's 53 on the roster, and so that kind of speaks to what a team the Patriots are. That they had basically a part-time player, a rotation guy in Chris Long, a rotation guy in Danny Amendola. He had a podium. Is this the fact that those guys had podiums said something about just the way the Patriots roster was built? But anyway, you know, so we were over there and kind of had a lean arm, you know, mic'd in and all that, but there weren't that many people there, which was good. And he just kind of had a big smile when he saw us. "Hey guys, oh, St. Louis, how you doing?" And we asked him about going to the Patriots. What's that been like? And, you know, he talked about how unique it is and the way they are there. And you better toe the line the way it's going to be. Not that he was, I mean, obviously he was a leader anyway, but he just said what an amazing experience it's been playing for them. So, yeah, from that standpoint, I know the Patriots are the team that everybody loves to hate, but from the St. Louis fans' rooting interest, I would think there'll be some people who would feel pretty good. They'll probably still be rooting against the Patriots, but if they win, I'm sure everybody will be happy for Chris Long.
Howard, we had an interesting discussion in the previous segment about comparing the Patriots and what they went through with Spygate and maybe even Deflategate. And is it fair to compare it to the Cardinals and what just happened with them and the hacking scandal? Do you see any comparisons, or is it apples and oranges in your eyes?
Well, it could be a little bit. You know, certainly what the Patriots did was out there front and center during games. And, you know, Spygate was filming, you know, coaches on the sideline giving hand signals and trying to get an edge in a game with that. Deflategate, which of course I think was an overblown story, still involved, you know, supposedly tampering with the football within a game. And so I think that makes it a little different than what the Cardinals with Chris Kurria, because it was, you know, the behind the scenes, the scouting and the computers and, you know, and all that stuff. So it is, you know, it is somewhat different, but I think that's why maybe the Cardinals once been viewed a little differently from, even though at the time when it happened, you know, everybody all of a sudden was questioning the Cardinals in the Cardinal way and all that. But when it's viewed in that respect, obviously that's the lifeblood of teams, of what happens in scouting and the information that, that teams gather. But when it doesn't, involve the actual direct play on the field, then it has that, you know, I think that different feel about it. So in some ways it's similar. I think in a lot of ways it's different, though, too.
So Howard, you vote for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Can you explain to our listeners that don't know yet when it's going down and what could possibly come out of that big meeting?
Saturday, it all begins at 7:30 a.m. Houston time, which, of course, is St. Louis time, Central time, and 48 selectors, including, of course, myself and Bernie Miklas, gather in a room and talk about all of the candidates for what can be 8 or 9 hours. And it's a long day, but I'll tell you, even though it's long, it goes fast because you're just talking football and you're talking about, you know, different candidates. And it's always interesting, though, because you just never know how the vote is really going to go. Yes, you have a feeling. I think this is going to be Kurt Warner's year. I feel strongly about that. I expect LaDainian Tomlinson to go in as a first-time eligible. After that, though, I think it's wide open. And you have, you know, 12 other finalists, modern-day finalists, that you can make a case for all of them. And I've said this often, guys, that when you have those 15 guys, you could come up with almost any combination of five, and you'd have a hell of a class. And I think that's pretty much true, you know, this time out as well. What's interesting, and a lot of people ask me, who do you think is getting in? And I said, I don't know what other guys are going to vote for, but I do know that in last year's top 10, because there's an initial vote, reduction vote from 15 to 10 before moving on to the final five. And in last year's 10, the five that didn't move on were Kurt Warner. I hope I get all these five right. Kurt Warner, Joe Jacoby, Don Coryell, Terrell Davis, and John Lynch. Mm. And so you have to, aside from Warner, you have to feel and believe that if not all of those guys, certainly a few, well, all of them can't because of Tomlin, but a few of them are going to move on. And then you have the whole Terrell Owens situation. He didn't make the first reduction last year. What happens with him? Ty Law. I mean, he's a finalist for the first time. There's a lot of, football royalty really being discussed. So, like I said, I think it's pretty wide open. But I do expect Warner and Tomlinson to get in, and the other three could be a combination of a lot of different things.
So, roughly what time, Howard, will we know if Kurt made it in the Hall of Fame or not?
Well, we won't know until the TV show. You know, they announce it on NFL Honors, and I have to double check because they tape that show. Sometimes they have it live, sometimes it's on tape. It might actually be live this year because of the Central Time Zone, and it's a 2-hour show. Now, at which point that, so we will have voted about 2 or 3 hours and finished before that. But we don't know. Let's say this, though. We know of the five guys that make it to the finals, we have a pretty good feeling that those five are going to get in. Because for the last 7 or 8 years, anyone who made that final group was not, they got enough votes. Because after that, it's 80% yes or no when you get to that final five. Mm-hmm. And most everyone in the room has learned that if there's too many guys who vote no and they don't make it, guess what? He's coming back the next year. Yeah. And so you might as well just get it over with and not really, in effect, lose a spot for someone else the next year. So we know the final five, and so we have a pretty good feeling that those five will get in. But we don't know for sure, but we're not allowed to say anything. And so, like I said, we'll know on the NFL Honors show where they announce MVP and Coach of the Year and all those other awards, and they introduce the Hall of Fame class of 2017 on that show.
Hey, Howard, real quick, just because you brought up something that I think is interesting about the NFL Hall of Fame is the five people going in. In all your years of voting for, just one voter to another here, because we run into this with the baseball Hall of Fame, do you like that five-person minimum? Do you think that serves well, or would you think some years there are two and some years there are seven?
Well, there's actually only four that there's a minimum. That have to go
right. In. I'm sorry. But, yeah.
But that four. Also includes. I'm only talking about the modern day guys. There's also the seniors candidate, which is Kenny Easley, and then the two contributors, Paul Tagliabue and Jerry Jones, and they are voted on. They're talked about at the beginning of the meeting and then voted on yes or no right away. And so they don't affect who goes in. But if all three of those guys go in, theoretically you could have only one get in from that other five, but that's not going to happen. And so it could happen, but I think there's, with football and so many different players, you know, baseball is kind of, I don't know what the word is to describe it, but
awesome.
There's good and bad with everything, but the numbers, obviously so much is about numbers.
Yeah.
And the numbers translate pretty much. You know, yeah, you can say, well, shortstop's not going to have the same numbers as other guys, but still, for the most part, numbers translate from position to position. Football is totally different. You have offensive linemen and linebackers and all those guys.
And kickers.
And plus there's so many different players, you know, so many more players. So because all we hear every year is, how come this guy isn't in? How come that guy isn't in? Why didn't he get in? I know that to a certain extent that is the way it is in baseball, but it just seems more in football because there are just so many more players that, you know, that play. So I like that number. There's some who argue it should be more, as that there's a way to break a logjam and get more guys in so guys don't have to wait 7-8 years. But I don't know. I don't think they'll ever change that, maybe go up a little bit. But I kind of agree with that number. I think the number they have now, especially if you have an 8-person class, which it could very well be, that's a pretty decent number to put into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Fun football stuff as always, Howard. Before we let you go, let's hear about some of the sponsors that help make your segment happen.
Glad to do that, as always. My great sponsors, Weber Chevrolet and WeberChevrolet.com. Go to the website, find out all the great deals they have going on there, whether it's factory incentives, which bring the price down, then Weber incentives, which bring it down even more, and you will get a great, great deal on whatever it is you're looking for, whether it's new, whether it's pre-owned, and they have a lot of great deals on pre-owned cars. So check it out, WeberChevrolet.com. Then head on over to your nearest location, Columbia or Granite City in Illinois, and in the Missouri side, Olive and 270 in Creve Coeur. And then, of course, Metro Chiropractic and Nutritional Wellness. Do it the natural way. Before you start taking all kinds of pain pills and things like that, give it a try, because Rob Elder at Metro Chiropractic has state-of-the-art stuff going on there, and he's helped my wife tremendously over the last year or so, and they have a $59 special going on for $590 special, $59 for a $97 evaluation. And if you don't have anything really ridiculously serious going on, it's a great way to kind of, you know, stop it before it gets worse. So check it out, 567-7300. That's Metro Chiropractic and Nutritional Wellness.
Great stuff, Howard. Have some fun in Houston for us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Take care. Have a good one.
All right. That's the great Howard Balzer. He's a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. Hey, let's take a quick break as we get back. Talk about back-to-back awesome guests. Buster Olney from ESPN will be joining us here on the Riders Block, presented by Bud Select and the only 590 The Fan, 105.7 HG2 and InsideSDL.com.